Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. If I sound tired and miserable, it's because I am, because, oh boy, I should have done a lot more episodes in these past few days. It's just that information just keeps on coming and coming, and it's so weird. I think that we're actually going to move back to even shorter, like 15-minute episodes, but they're going to be out daily since I can't squeeze them all in into a single thing happening on every other day or something. Because it's weird. For one, I have to give credit out here to War Translated. Dmitry, our old buddy, wartranslated.com. I was there before even he had a webpage. He posted that stuff on Twitter. I really, really recommend you follow the guy. And as I was recording this, apparently, Yedinaya Russia, United Russia, political party, HQ in Melitopol, the occupied territory, just went up in the air and exploded. So, yeah, it's near midnight here as I'm recording because of all the mess. And just now, the United Russia's headquarters in the occupied Melitopol just went up. So I'm going to investigate this tomorrow. In Kherson front, the thing that I was really worried about actually happened because, well, the Vojenno-Vzdushny Desant, VDV, basically kind of the airborne assault units, which are the most elite of the Russian army, yeah, they managed to escape their encirclement, which I really hoped wouldn't happen, which is why I was super hush-hush about it, but they took a lot of losses. So that's good. However, the best part is that, and again, I have rewritten this episode multiple times, and, well, one more thing, a political orphanage, podcast called The Political Orphanage. They visited me in Latvia just as I had arrived back from Athens. Yeah, and we had a nice tour. We're going to have some collaborations in the future. Check them out if you haven't. But now we're back to our main show, which is basically Girkin. Because Girkin, he was very quiet in these past few days. He was extremely quiet because we experienced, due to the Ukrainian successful counterattack, a lot of wankering and a lot of issues on their Telegram boards and everything, what I used to sit on. But, yeah, right now, Ukrainian counterattack has been so good and so awesome that a lot of people have been just going crazy. But I just focus on Girkin because our buddy Girkin / Strelkov is actually providing some intense things. Lately, he's been gone full into Doomer territory. He stated out publicly that basically he thinks Russia's going to lose the war. Which is interesting coming from him being a super pro-war supporter. But yeah, tomorrow at 7 p.m. He's gonna do a nice little hour long something about the whole war situation. I'm gonna listen to that. That's not gonna be in tomorrow's episode. This is gonna be a day after that because I'll have to do tomorrow's episode at about 1 to 2 a.m. or p.m. sorry, my time. But we'll get to that at any point. Here is what Girkin states about the situation on the front and everything. In the Kharkov front, the enemy, that is Ukrainians. Again, I have to repeat this to the newer listeners. Girkin's a pro-Russian guy. He's very pro-war. He's a terrorist. Listen to my other episodes. Girkin, everyone here knows Girkin. I think we're going to have Girkin t-shirts at one point even. In Kharkiv front, the Ukrainians, he called them the enemy, yesterday basically forced a massive assault in the area of Balakia. And they took the outer perimeter of the city, and they took the city in general, because the city was defended by the battalions, mobilized battalions, of LDPR, with a minimum of heavy weaponry, who couldn't like hold it. And the second line of defense was also unable to hold back the Ukrainian assault, because those were the parts of Rosgvardia. And if you listen to my previous episode, you will know that they're only good for beating up protesters, not fighting. And apparently, well, this is why one of the biggest kind of focuses there were this Balakia. And besides that, they also took some villages in the surrounding areas known as Volkhov Yar and Verobvka. Now about Balakia. That's a thing that Girkin doesn't say, but that's in all other Western analysts' news, and you can also check that on Google Maps. Balakea was an important point because it's a massive, massive place of various stockpiles of guns. There's a massive arsenal there. And it's like, it's an arsenal built in Soviet era, which consists of a lot, like over 10, maybe 20, I don't know. Everyone says a lot, which is more than 10. Definitely, maybe like even 20, maybe more. But definitely more than 10 huge hangars full with stockpiled ammo, built with concrete so that even if set apart, so that if one catches fire, others won't be harmed. And they're like, they used to be a massive victory for the Russian forces, because you can like stock up on ammo there, and there used to be Soviet stockpiles there. Well, now Ukrainians have captured that part. So that's good. This whole thing is a massive tactical loss for Russia. Now, apparently, continuing on with Girkin. Girkin's sources state that besides the fact that Rosgvardia was useless, because again, they're only useful to beat up protesters, they also spotted the fact that, Russian aviation was extremely careful, because they had only attacked the offensive forces of Ukraine from the maximum possible distance, which had very much slowed their effectiveness. This is because Ukraine had done a lot of prep work, which part of all this OPSEC security silence was a part of, the preparing for ground of all this. Ukraine had moved their forces very carefully. They had assaulted and used artillery on the Russian positions, which means that everything went to plan, which really denied Russian forces their effectiveness. Now, apparently, due to miscommunication and everything else, Russian artillery also couldn't work enough, and now we have rumors about two Russian volunteer divisions or battalions. Two large units. He says basically two elements of Russian kind of volunteer units apparently have been surrounded in Volkhovaya Yara. I will figure that one out later. It's probably true, but you can never know. And Girkin, again, because his doomer quality should be taken with a grain of salt. However, I think that he might be even more reliable in some cases where it comes to, the whole situation there. So, apparently now everyone is in massive amounts of shock, because there has been a lot of movement in the Kharkiv front and Kherson front. Apparently no one was prepared for this. This has caused a massive blow, just a humongous blow in the Russian propaganda circles, since none of them really expected this, and because of how they've been painted up their mainstream whole media about how they're super successful and super awesome. This has been a major blow to morale, and me being a part of NAFO or the fellas, makes me happier. So I don't have bad news to report, except that the group Wagner, the Wagner private military company, they reported that they've taken a village also, but they had reported that they had taken this village about 2 months previously, and the current video has come from the outskirts of that village, so can't really give you a proper thing about this. However, one interesting thing that War translated, Dmitry hasn't translated yet, is an interesting thing, because due to how the Donetsk People's Republic soldiers held this area, which Ukrainians took, so a lot of blame from Russian part has come to these guys. And then Strelkov posted recently this, like literally today, and it's a long post which I'm gonna translate to you as best as I can. Because he writes a little bit about problems, the very, very sharp ones, which do not allow me to critique the warriors and commanders of the People's Republics, who, in the opinion of some strategists, don't defend their positions hard enough. Because, apparently a lot of people on Russian side blame the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, those separatist terrorists, by the losses. And Girkin, you know, does something very interesting for us here, at least for my show. I don't know how fun this is for his supporters, but he puts on a portrait of the default company of these mobics, the so-called mobilized people. And this is, by the way, when I understood that the word rota is not squad, but company, and like squad is a bit below that, but it's basically company. So, you know, there is company, then there is battalion, then there is division. But he describes the default company that functions on the nth direction of the nth front, you know, just to be as much default as possible. So the company has been gathered together in the condition of some hundredth something battalion of the Narodnaya Militsiya DNR, or the People's Militia of DNR, in the end of February, or in the beginning of this March this year, from the mobilized people. In the first recruitment of these 100 people that serve there, in the real battles, only 3 to 5 people are there that have some battle experience. And about 15 have only served in the army in general, in any army, Soviet, Ukrainian, or, you know, People's Republic. The command of this company is from an officer of reserves who hasn't fought ever, not in 2014, not later. Sometimes, which is nearly not always, he has an officer replacement person, you know, just the same sort of level of officer who could replace him without any battle experience. And basically, the squad commanders have been, you know, assigned those people who've been basically been anywhere near to battle, anywhere near, at least somewhat remotely, to battles from 2014-2022. But to lower levels, you know, that you know, not even officers enough for that. Through this half a year, this company, which already had begun its kind of battle destiny in Russian side of about 100 people, had dieted a lot of about 25% to 30% of its kind of condition. About half of these losses are because of the battles. Artillery, snipers, getting into prisons, whatever, something like that. The others, well, they have been, you know, pushed out of battle because of their old illnesses that doesn't allow them to carry on with their service. And, well, the ones that were skipped over when they were mobilized. That is kind of like all this med commission everything. Because apparently in Donetsk and Luhansk, they were basically recruiting, according to the principle, head, 2 arms, 2 legs, younger than 70, you're in. The half of the remaining 60 to 70 soldiers are apparently, well, only theoretically ready to fight, because the other half is unable to properly fight because of their age and the other, you know, diseases and illnesses and chronic stuff that basically haven't just yet, for now, made them just go into the condition of just sleeping people. And yeah, I'm sorry, I'm just translating this because this is a lot of text instantly, and had to scrap my whole previous script for this. Hope this works. 85% of all these people there are still fighting. They haven't been into any vacations home for the last 6 months. But the 15% of the lucky ones had been into their vacation for a whole 5 days, including 2 days for the road, in which very few of them actually managed to pull themselves into because there is no transportation there. This company is armed, in their majority, with AK-74 Kalashnikov assault rifles with, as Girkin states, the second and the third category of being used. And in some cases, even with Mosinki or Mosin-Nagant rifles and Degatyarev machine guns, DP-28. You know, some of them are still in the armament. Mortars, zero. Grenade launchers, one, two, maybe, per company. There's about 10 of them for the whole kind of battalion. And also, there might be some other heavy weaponry given out from the whole battalion, but no one in the company can use it, not even talking about the fact that they could just take it apart and get it back again. Armored vests? They haven't seen any. Means of communication? None. Well, any tools of night vision and even more infrared vision? Same thing as before. They have your default average Donetsk Luhansk People's Republic militia company has a single optical touristic commercial binoculars. And that's the commander. And they know that drones exist, but only because, the Ukrainian drones scout their positions and coordinate artillery fire on them. So, yeah. And that their trench tools, well, what they basically have found and gathered in the closest villages. Again, gathered here with a bit of irony here, because even Girkin understands that these people have to rob their own stuff. They also don't have their own transportation, which, by the way, in the battalion, yeah, it's also in a very tiny quantities. And, their uniform and their shoes, which have been acquired half a year ago with the method of what was thrown away by giving out stuff and who managed to capture it, well, those things have been, you know, basically used up until the point of no return, but no one's replacing them. Basically, this is the situation also with all the other equipment. This basically, all the additions in the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic militias, which, by the way, are the majority there of like people fighting on the eastern flank, because those are the only places that are mobilized. Yeah, this is their logistics situation. And now people ask me when the war is going to end. Well, if the situation continues like this, and Russian side does not get resupplied anymore, think about how these guys, and this is a pro-Russian guy who complains about their situation and says it's too bad, think about how they're going to go down in December. But, yeah, that's going to be it for today. Tomorrow we're going to come back with more explosions and more fun stuff. Have a lot of work. Again, I'm slowly starting to hate all the situation that I have to re-record the episodes twice or three times already. But in the end, I just wanted to say that if you want to become a patron of our show, please, please do consider it, because that's a lifeline for us. Without you, our show won't exist. Patreon.com/TheEasternBorder. And also, well, if you want to make a one-time donation, then TheEasternBorder.lv. Click the donate button there. This currently goes on for volunteers and for winter clothing for the Ukrainian soldiers. And another thing that I just happened into my mind today. If you are a fella, like I am, and you have a business that you want to advertise on, I'm going to be running free ads for all the fella associated businesses. So please do spread the word around. And I'll probably just go to sleep because, well, re-recording is bad. But we're back to the daily schedule here since, too many things are happening. A lot of them are just way too important to kind of be left aside. До свидания, товарищи. And remember, happiness is mandatory.